Good evening. Thank you very much for coming. We'll start with opening remarks by the Secretary General and the Prime Minister, and then we'll have time for a few questions. Secretary General.
Prime Minister Yatsenyuk, welcome to NATO headquarters. It's really an honor and a pleasure to have you here, and your visit just underlines the strong partnership between NATO and Ukraine. And we also very much appreciate that we are able to develop our partnership, and especially because the people of Ukraine have chosen the path of democracy and closer cooperation with Europe. And we welcome that, and we underline that the decision by the people of Ukraine has to be respected. And NATO stands with you, and we are supporting you both politically and we also provide practical support, and we are eager to strengthen our partnership. We have created five trust funds which will help Ukraine to improve its own security. Those trust funds are now up and running. They aim to make Ukraine's defense forces more modern, more transparent, and more effective. And in addition, many NATO allies are also providing practical support to Ukraine on a bilateral basis, and that is also important, and I welcome this support very much. Today we have also discussed Russia's continued illegal actions to destabilize Ukraine. And Mr. Prime Minister, you have shown a real desire to find a peaceful solution to the crisis in Ukraine. And NATO fully supports Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. And we strongly believe that the Minsk agreements offer the best way to a peaceful solution. Ukraine has made real efforts to live up to those commitments. And we call on Russia to do the same, and to respect the Minsk agreements, and to use all its influence over the separatists, to also make the separatists respect the Minsk agreements and the ceasefire. A sovereign and stable Ukraine, firmly committed to democracy and the rule of law, is a key to Euro-Atlantic security. So, Mr. Prime Minister, NATO will stand with you as you work towards those goals. Please and welcome.
Mr. Secretary General, we truly appreciate and we commend the efforts of NATO and NATO member states to support Ukraine and to preserve territorial integrity and independence of Ukraine. You're absolutely right saying that the Minsk deal is to be executed by the Russian Federation, and we believe that this is the only deal that we have on the table, and the quicker Russia will implement and execute this deal, the quicker we can reach peace and stability in Ukraine. We do commend the efforts to facilitate four trust funds for Ukraine to improve Ukrainian military and to support Ukrainian veterans who participated in and still participating in counter-terrorist operation. During our talks, I asked you for an additional support in reviewing and actually shaping new defense and national security strategy for Ukraine, as we need to modernize and to overhaul Ukrainian military. We ask for an additional support to the Ukrainian Department of Defense and Department of Homeland Security how to improve the stance of Ukrainian military and National Guard. We believe that the best solution of this conflict, which is in the East, is when Russia executes the Minsk deal, if Russia seals the border, if Russia pulls back its forces, if Russia pulls back its agents, and if Russia stops the supply of lethal weapon and ammunition to Russian-led terrorists. So the formula is on the one hand simple, on the other hand is very effective. So we urge Russian president and Russian authorities to execute the deal and to start the real peace process in Ukraine.
Thank you very much. We have time for a few questions. Start with European Pravda.
I have questions for both officials. First of all, to Mrs. Stoltenberg. We know that several times NATO insisted that you cannot provide Ukraine with military support and so on. But at the same time, we see that NATO allies say several times, and the most recently that was a statement by Canadian Prime Minister that they do not provide Ukraine with lethal weapons just because NATO do not take a decision that NATO countries do ready to supply the people. Don't you think that you are playing a blame game, that just everyone want to show each other that we are not guilty, just another side is not willing to provide? What is the reason? And a question to Mr. Yasinyuk. Could you please clarify the issue? Do we go for NATO membership or we don't? Because I think that Ukrainian people need some clarity in that. Thank you very much.
First of all, as you know, NATO doesn't possess weapons or equipment, so NATO do not provide equipment to any partner because we don't possess them. Then it's up to each individual NATO ally to decide what kind of support, what kind of equipment they provide. And I know that several NATO allies are providing different kinds of support, also practical support, and also provide different kinds of equipment to Ukraine. In addition, I know that there is a dialogue between Ukraine and several NATO allies on whether it's possible to increase and also expand the types of equipment which is provided to Ukraine. I welcome that there is a close dialogue, and I welcome that many NATO allies are supporting Ukraine, but this is, at the end, a bilateral relationship between NATO allies and Ukraine.
Well, on NATO membership perspective, I do remember 9 months ago when in this very building I said that NATO membership is not yet on our radars. And I will tell you that the screen of this radar has entirely changed. Today we detected at this radar Russian tanks, Russian howitzers, Russian soldiers, and Russian military boots on the ground. I want to be very clear that Ukrainian president and Ukrainian prime minister and Ukrainian authorities have one joint position over all national security and defense issues. It is our joint decision to eliminate so-called non-bloc status that was granted to Russia by then President Yanukovych. This is the first step. The second step, we need to pass reforms and to implement reforms that are needed in security sector, in political sector, in economy, in justice, to meet all standards and criteria that apply to NATO member states. The third issue, under the current Ukrainian legislation, we are to hold referendum on the suggested NATO membership perspective. And the fourth issue, if we succeed implementing and executing everything that I just indicated, we will be ready to join the alliance. This is the roadmap, and we will follow this roadmap.
Channel 122.
The question to Mr. Yatsenyuk. Could you tell us, I'd like just to clarify, at the moment we are not talking about making application for NATO membership. We only just refuse the non-bloc status. Am I correct? I will try to explain once again. We can make an application, but this doesn't mean that you will be accepted. In order to make an application and be accepted as a member, it is necessary first to introduce changes into legislation and to open way, to pave way for membership. The second, to implement all necessary reforms to meet the standards and criteria of NATO. The third, to get agreement of Ukrainian people, and I'm sure that this agreement we will have. And the fourth, not just submit an application, but to get invitation to join the alliance.
NPR, CBS. Terry Schultz with NPR and CBS. A question for both men. Mr. Secretary General, we have now seen two more near misses in air with Russian aircraft with transponders off. They have counter-accused NATO of turning off its planes' transponders. And Denmark and Sweden have complained to Moscow. Finland is saying that ICAO, the International Aviation Organization, should get involved. How dangerous is this situation, and what more can you do? The scrambles obviously aren't acting as a deterrent to stop these flights. And to the Prime Minister, what kind of timeline are you talking about? Yes, after you pass the laws, after you pass the reforms, what is the soonest that you think now with your new government that the country could be in shape to ask for, to have the requirements in place to ask for NATO membership? Thanks.
I don't have any more specific information on the incident outside Swedish airspace this weekend. But what I can say is that we have seen a substantial increase in Russian air activity around NATO borders, NATO airspace during the last year, and especially in the Baltic Sea and the Black Sea. And it's not only a question of increased numbers and increased number of flights, but it's also the way they are conducting the flights. And they are not filing the flight plans, and they're not communicating with civilian air traffic control, and they are not turning on the transponders. And that poses a risk to civilian air traffic. I would like to underline that all NATO planes, AVAX planes and jets, are conducting their flights in compliance with international safety standards, and that NATO AVAX planes and jets, they are turning on their transponders. And I think that the important thing is that NATO stays vigilant, and that we are intercepting the Russian flights, partly because it shows that we are prepared and we are vigilant and we are doing what we are supposed to do, but also that both the presence of AVAX planes in the area and NATO planes in the area, jets, is they are enabling us to identify the Russian planes, and thereby also being able to follow them and to reduce the risks they are posing on civilian air traffic.
On the issue of suggested NATO membership, let me just remind you the statement or the conclusion of the Bucharest summit of 2008. It was clearly stated that Ukraine will be NATO member. I would be happy to have this as quick as possible, but even in case if, for example, tomorrow morning we send an application or request to NATO member states, please make us NATO member, not sure that everyone will be happy with this. First, we need to implement reforms to meet criteria, and then it's in the interest of NATO member states to have strong Ukraine. The stronger Ukraine, the stronger NATO, and NATO member states.
Thank you very much indeed. Good evening.